Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to J is for Justice podcast. If live breaking news and following true crime is your thing, then please consider subscribing to my channel. And if you like what you see in my videos, please consider giving them a thumbs up. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Thursday. It is Thursday, June 20th, and you are live with J is for Justice in the morning time. Wakey bakey. Welcome in, everybody. It's good to see you guys this morning. Hey, Melissa B. Hey, Mary Mac, Stephanie, Natalie Scanyon, No Eyes. Good to see all of you guys. Mick says, what's up with the chat summary thing? It's just the little beginning screen, if you will. One-Eyed Flo, thanks for being here to moderate. Same goes for who else is here? Jenny, thank you for being a member for 14 months. Happy Thursday. What's up, Nene and Amy? Hope you're doing well. Bunny. Naomi, hello from Montreal. Wow. Olivia B, what's up? We've got Potato here. Barbie, what's up, Barbie? And Cricket became a member today, which is totally awesome. So what we're going to talk about this morning, and oh, Flo, thank you for gifting a membership. Who received that? Kimberly Brummett. Welcome, Kimberly. Alberta, Canada is watching. Amazing, amazing. Oh, it's Suze's day off. Crystal, Interspace, Lulu, Lynn Jeffries, Miss Ricky. Jammers, it's early for jammers. Damn, girl, you up early. Thank you for being here, Jams. So I came across this interview with this person named Blue Eyes. Hello, Amir and Lanny, or Laney, Lady for Justice. Good morning, sunshine. No, it's not me. It's this person named Blue Eyes in the Upper Peninsula. I'm so jealous. It must be so nice up there. Unravel. Love it. Love it. I am up early on my day off. That always happens, Crystal. You did see it. So put a one in chat if you've seen this interview already, because I didn't see it. I just saw it last night. New Mexico, Aspen, welcome in. Karen Powers starting the day with Jay. I like that. It's got a nice little ring to it. We did our call-in show last night, and that was really good. We had a lot of good callers, as usual. You watched yesterday's stream, made you just start screening callers. Yeah, I might need a producer soon. Yeah, I hadn't seen it either. So it's pretty interesting. This person named Blue Eyes actually went to Hendersonville. She met Seth's mom, Seth's dad, Chris and Katie. And she's been in contact with Chris and Katie. But the thing I didn't understand is why she's all of a sudden spilling the beans. Yeah, they do sandwich, but it's okay. We love our collars. We do. So we're going to start watching this, and I'm going to pause it as we go, but let me find the right spot. Thank you for subscribing, Red Sky. I'm trying to find the beginning. Hold on. Okay. I'm going to start it right here, right about 7 minutes. And this channel is called Lolly Beautifully Broken. Lolly Beautifully Broken. I've never heard of her channel before, but I want to say, you know, check her out. I found this a very interesting interview, and it kind of came like out of the blue. Seriously. She made it out like she was getting weird vibes and thought she should speak out. That's why. Ah, okay. Thank you, Miss Southern Tea. So I haven't seen all of this. I wanted to save some of it, you know, to watch with you guys. So we'll be talking through it as we go. And I'm going to speed it up just to 1.25. Just so you know. The rudder. Oh, y'all can't hear it. My bad. Sorry about that.
Tugging at the heartstrings. It's just been one thing right after the other with it. And so it just all of a sudden I decided I'm going to take a trip to Hendersonville, Tennessee, and I'm going to go look for this child myself. And I took my daughter with me, which she thought I was really crazy at first when I just called her and said, hey, you want to go to Tennessee? So me, my mom, and her took off, and we met at the rudder because that's where Seth was actually doing his searches from. But by the time we got there, we had missed his last, well, the rest of the day he had already finished up for the searches. So we decided that we would go ahead and go check in. We rode around a couple places, went to the house. When we did take a stroll by the house, all the lights were on, even the floodlights and stuff. They said that they don't never keep on and stuff. But we went by there and we drove around, got.
So I think right there, the fact that she drove by and said that the lights were on, I know there's like new rumors flying around that there was no light bulbs or something in the Proudfoot's lights. I don't know, but everyone that I've seen that's driven by there, any video I've seen, those lights are always on, and I'm pretty sure they said those were always on. I don't know. All this information has been confusing, but she said that the lights were all on.
You know, and did what we needed to do to familiarize ourselves with certain areas. So the next day, me and my daughter decided to go out. We met at the rudder. We signed the list to go search because they made you sign a sign-in sheet with your name and phone number, and you took a picture of it so that you would have the numbers to call to people if you found anything. And we handed out thousands of flyers, and we went out and was near the house. And we got to this little, it was like a little barbecue place. And I had texted Chris on Messenger, and I asked him, I said, we are here now, and we're trying to figure out what's the best place to search. Now, this is the day that they redid the searches and had the fire department as their command center. And he told us, he said, okay, he said, I can tell you where to go. He said, you need to go to Mary's Magical Place because that is where Sebastian liked to go. And he said,
what is Mary's Magical Place? Does anybody know without me having to Google it? Hello, Mel. D- Does anybody know what Mary's magical plan? I don't want to Google it, James, but I want to know what the fuck it is. Let's look it up. Mary's magical place. Oh, it's a playground. It's a playground in Hendersonville. It's called Mary's Magical Place. Oh, it's after Mary Elizabeth McCauley, who passed away. After Mary's death in 2015 at 14. I wonder how she died. Could he walk there? It's right by it's in Veterans Park. It's right by the frickin' roadhouse. Look, there's the Texas Roadhouse. Can you guys see that? So have they not, I mean, did they not search there? I'm confused. This is the first I'm hearing of, this is weird because I've never heard of Mary's Magical Place. Like, no one ever said, oh, Sebastian loved Mary's Magical Place. But now we're finding this out 3 months later. That he loved this park behind this roadhouse. Look at, there's Culver's. He knows how to get to Culver's. If he knows how to get to Culver's, could he get to Mary's Magical Place? You have to pay to go to a playground? Say what? People online were saying to look behind Texas Roadhouse. Weird. Shall we read the reviews? Warrior's Path will take you from Texas Roadhouse to Veterans Park, crossing over a bridge to Drake's Creek. Warrior's Path? Is that this? Warrior's Path, isn't that where Summer Wells was? It's all right by Drake's Creek, and they had horses in Drake's Creek. Weird. Hello, Wendy. Yeah, the horses were in Drake's Creek, guys. In that video I put out yesterday, it talked about them having, for like 2 days in a row, the horses were in Drake's Creek. Oh my God, extra malt, because he loves malt. Why is this the first time hearing about it? Exactly. Beautiful, clean, and allows play for all children. I don't see that you have to pay to get in here. I mean, it's literally a playground.
It's so cute. She knows her name.
She came down the slide. Right. Me and she came down the second time.
Welcome in. Welcome in. Is that north-northwest of the Proudfoot home? Oh, let's look. Let's look. Let's look. Let's close that out, and then let's do maps, and then we're going to see how far it is. Or see where it is exactly to their house, not how far it is. Okay, so it's a 15-minute drive, but no, it's south. No pay for entry playground built around disabled kids. Yeah, it looks like a memorial for a 14-year-old disabled little girl. So That's where it is. Can you guys see that? So it's 15 minutes south of their house. You know what's north northwest, though, which is odd, is Clarksville, right? Is Clarksville. Let's see. Before we continue this interview, let's see where Clarksville is from their house. Yeah, like that's north northwest. If anything's north northwest, it's fucking Clarksville. Look, 1 hour and 13 minutes. So what is he saying? What is Chris saying? We guess what, Harris? We don't care about the hot dogs. Good morning, Olip. Yeah, I mean, Nene, yeah, I agree with you on that one. Like, you do the opposite. I don't know, Bunny. Get yourself another cup of coffee. Okay, so that's where that is. Let's continue this. So, playground we've never heard of. Mary's Magical Place. Mental note. Miss Anonymous, you have friends in Clarksville. Maybe they are, Miss Southern T. I don't know.
If he wanted to, he could walk there. And so we actually asked a cop while we were talking to him on the phone.
Hi, Trey.
We asked a cop to come up and I asked him, I said, are we allowed to search? And he said, yes, just don't get in the way with all the other ones that was searching. I said, well, we're going to go some other places. Well, Chris told me, he said, it's okay. Tell him who you're on the phone with. And I said, okay. So I told the cop I was on the phone with Christopher Proudfoot. Cop was okay with it and everything. So he took us all directions down to Stop 30 Road. I mean, he directed us all to it by the phone. And he said that Sebastian would have walked that road. Well, being barefooted and walking that road, no, I don't see that happening because I just, with the textures and what they were explaining about Sebastian, I don't think that he could have stood that road. That road was horrible when we were driving down it. And so we went down to the Mary's Magical Place, sorry. And we looked out there, we put out flyers, we went down on the creek beds, everything, we looked through there. And as I said, we've talked to him several times. And I started talking to him probably on March 27th. And I had asked him just several things. I said, you know, I said, my heart breaks for y'all's family and I can't imagine the hurt of a missing child. And I said, you said that you would answer all questions. And I watched the interviews and all the others that you and Katie have done. And I said, I'm confused because in one interview, I think it said you were home on the 25th of February and left and went back to Memphis. And I said, is this correct? And he said, no, I got home the 26th, the day that Sebastian was missing around 1 p.m. And he said, I haven't been home since early February.
Okay, so that's the same thing he told Nancy Grace. Remember, he got a little jumbled on it, but he did tell Nancy Grace, Chris Proudfoot, said that he hadn't been home until the day that Sebastian went missing.
And so we've been talking on and off. My daughter's like, no, we don't talk to him no more. But I can't, because I feel like he was starting to communicate with me. I felt like he was starting to trust me with things that he would talk to me about. And at first, I wouldn't believe in my opinion, that they were actually guilty of anything because of everything he was telling me. And I know some certain people are, you know, on the fence with each one of them and all that. But I can tell you this, me and my daughter didn't get a good opinion of Seth either. But I don't feel.
Oh, shit. She said that they didn't get a good feeling from any of them. But she also included Seth. Now, remember, this woman claims she met Grandma Rogers, Grandpa Rogers, Seth, Chris, and Katie. And she's spoken with them. Her name is Blue Eyes. I don't know her real name. But I think she's definitely telling the truth. This does not sound like bullshit to me. Good morning, Sin, my lovely. It's good to see you. Yeah, so why wasn't he home all month? Why wasn't he home until Sebastian went missing? Why was he only home that day? But he hadn't been there since early February. When we know that Nina filed emergency custody mid-January, depositions were done mid to late January with Bower Sox people and Katie for that case. Then we have Chris not being home the whole month of February, according to him, since early February. Was that when an ultimatum was given? Like, I'm not going to be here. If he's here, I'm not. Or maybe he wasn't supposed to because of CPS. But he wants us to believe that, you know, he was not home until the 26th. And remember, Heather, the PI, said there was trouble in paradise. I believe that was a quote, Diana. Good to see you, Diana. Trouble in paradise. And she said it started back in December. She said there was a lot of turmoil in Sebastian's life. So what if Chris got this emergency custody thing and said, that's it. I'm not going to not have my daughter. What if Chris doesn't know? What if Katie did this to save her marriage? There's so many theories. It's nuts. Yeah, it could be because of CPS, for sure, for sure. But it's interesting. And he also said that he got there around 1 p.m.-ish to this woman.
I don't know what to say about Seth right now. I've gotten some weird vibes out of that since all this stuff has been coming out with him and Tony. But Chris was seeming to, you know, talk more and all that stuff. And
hey, Robin,
I've heard so many horrific stories and I can't imagine living this nightmare. And I asked him, I said, I just have a few questions. I said, because I'm really, you know, there's something going on over here being said. There's this person over here saying this and all people are saying just different things. And I said, was Sebastian's bed messed up when you guys checked in on him to wake him up that morning? And I said, do you think he might be close to your home or farther away from the home? Well, his reaction was people need a villain for their narratives. It's easy to blame a step parent because of statistics or the parent who last saw their child. And he says, I think he is farther away than we realize at this point. Anything is possible, honestly. And so that's when I'd asked him, you know, this is when we was coming up there and all that. And I asked him about if there was any places that we could search. He told me to reach out to Sumner County EMA director. And so that's when it all got started. And we were already up there and he is the one that thinks that Seth is trying to draw all the attention to him and make profits off of them, which I did ask him. I said, so how come y'all haven't started a GoFundMe or put up billboards, you know, or been out there helping with things? He said, we have been searching. We do it on our own time. And he said, it's a little bit hard to do that when you got people threatening you all the time. He said, following you around. So I said, the situation with you and Katie, I said, is there a divorce in the future? And he said no, and that they wasn't selling their house. And he said, and Katie would not be speaking to anybody because she is not ready.
Okay. No, they're not selling their house, he said. And that Katie's not speaking to anyone because she's not ready. When are you gonna be ready? That's the question. When your child, you wake up in the morning, right? Like every other weekday, you wake up, you go in your child's room to wake them up for school, say, hey, it's time to get up and get ready for school. And he's not there. When do you become ready to speak about it? Because I would have been ready from minute one. I would have been ready from minute one speaking about it to anybody who would fucking listen to me. Right? Put a one if you would wait 3 months or more to talk. I mean, I don't know at what point she asked him this question. So to be fair, I don't know when she asked him the question. But to say she's not ready, when will you ever be ready? When is someone ever ready for something like this? It's just a really weird way to put it. Melissa B says minus 1,000. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't sit right.
And I said, well, she needs to, because I said, you know, this is why people are getting the assumptions that she's guilty of something.
Exactly. I mean,
if it was my child, I would be screaming to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And my baby's been grown. And I'm like, I would not stop. I'd stay up 24/7, go hell and high water to find my children.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, even if they are grown, but they'll always be my babies.
Right.
And so he told me just to keep reaching out to her. Maybe she would change her mind. And, you know, and I'd start the conversation with him on the next days and say.
So this is interesting as well. Chris is encouraging her to keep reaching out to Katie so that she will talk. Isn't that weird? So is Chris really controlling her? Or is she zipping it on her own free will? Is Katie playing everybody? Is she playing the meek, mild wife and mommy? But is she playing her own husband? She's not ready.
Hey, I said, I was just seeing how y'all were doing. Is there been any new news? And he says, no, there's nothing been anything told to us. It's all the same stuff. And I think that it's weird that they are talking to law enforcement and law enforcement's talking to them, but they're not giving nothing to Seth.
Okay. Another good point. I've said this as well. Put a one in chat if you think Katie is running this show. Put a two if you think Chris is running the show. One for Katie, two for Chris. Three for both. Who's running the show here? One Katie, two Chris, three both. Lots of ones, more ones than I thought. She's coy. She has a lot of, yes, she has military training. She's got military background. It is very mixed. A lot of you guys, ones and threes, though. You think Chris might be just covering for her. It's two, but they want it to look like one. Interesting, obsessed mind. Chris and Katie were not spending time together when Sebastian was there, but when he is missing, they are tighter than a frog's ass. Interesting. Yep. She's smarter than we give her credit for, and she doesn't say much. She doesn't say much.
And I don't know if it's, you know, with my opinion, if it's because Seth has released a lot of stuff that probably shouldn't have been released. And I don't know what it is, but I don't know if it's because they are the parents he was with, but I think that all parties should be involved, including Seth, that is his child too.
Right.
And he told me that Katie was going to be staying with him at first. So, you know, cause she was, I think they did the Nancy Grace and she had even told them that she was going back with him to stay with him while he goes back to work. Cause she wasn't working at the time and all that. And I asked him about the bus stop and all that in front of the house, because I was curious, you know, does he ride the bus? And nobody's ever really said that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, he has one. It's in directly in front of our house. Katie sometimes takes him, but don't usually. He usually rides the bus.
So did the bus stop there that morning? Did the bus come and stop at the driveway when there was all the cops and stuff? Miss Southern T says all three are involved and it got out of hand. TBI should give them a one chance pass to produce Sebastian with no consequences. But if they don't, or his body is found, everyone gets jail time. I don't think they should be pardoned to point out where he is. But if all three of them knew, don't you think someone would have cracked by now? Especially the one who's, like, if all three of them knew, Seth is supposedly not speaking to them. But we don't know if that's true. They could be talking all the fucking time. They could be talking all the time. And we have no idea. Or did Katie do something and call Bio Dad? Because she knows that Seth carries a torch for her. Think about that. Think about that. What would Seth do for the love of Katie? Thinking that this is going to get them together. And then when it didn't, he's like, oh, fuck. Now I'm an accomplice. He's not bright. Well, did you see his interview last night? He's falling the fuck apart. He's falling apart. All right, let's keep going.
And he said, but if you're getting vibes off of this one channel that's saying that he went to the bus stop and took a right, that ain't true. Well, how do you know that? You went home. So you say. And I asked him, I said, do you honestly know or can say it in your heart that you don't know where Sebastian is? And he says, trust me, we want him home. We honestly don't know where he is. And when he said that, it was just like, okay. I got a weird feeling. And me and my daughter went backwards and forth every time about this. And, you know, and I texted him that night, March 31st, I said, Chris, I was wondering about the clothes Sebastian had on when Katie and him left the Texas Roadhouse. I said, are those accounted for? And was he on medication? What kind? And was the meds that he needed every day? And I said, I hope your Easter has been good considering the situation. Well, he never would answer me. And so he didn't answer me back till April 2nd. And he said, we are hanging in there.
Okay. So this was around Easter time. There was a 5-minute interview with TikTok Tony, Seth, and Ashley Banfield last night. And Seth, his eyes were like swollen shut. He looks terrible. He looks absolutely terrible, as he should. I mean, I would too. I'm not saying anything negative about that, but I'm saying he looks visibly worse than he did the last time we saw him. Yeah, I mean, it's completely worse than what we saw the last time. Like, it was really noticeably different. And then, you know, Tony has the audacity to show his face after that. Oh my gosh. But you guys can find that. It's on YouTube now.
And that's when the press conference was supposed to start. They were supposed to do, which they said that they didn't have any new information and all that, which he told me it would be played again.
I will get a screenshot of what he looked like. I'll be right back.
11. So I'm not from Tennessee. I'm actually from North Carolina. So he said, due to death threats, we're not currently meeting anyone unless they have been vetted by the LE. He said it's for safety reasons. And I don't know why he would just come out and say that, because he didn't offer to do that. So I don't know what he meant by that. And I said, are you and Katie going to be at the press conference? And he said, no, we're not. And I said, okay. So, and I asked him, I said, I just seen the press conference. And they said they found glasses. I said, were there Sebastian's? And where did they find them? He said, we cannot speak on that. Ellie will not allow us, which we've all heard that over and over and over. I said, okay, I respect that. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, when we do find Sebastian and bring him home, I said, I would love to meet your son. And he said, he's my stepson. And he said, and I'll make sure that you get to meet him.
So he clarified he's my stepson to this woman.
And so I was like, okay. So I went on, and later that night, Chris asked him if there was any news. And I asked him again, because I'd heard that they were selling their house. And he said, no, we are not selling the house. He said, that's funny though. I was like, okay. And I had just seen it. And he said, you know, Sebastian's birthday is December 7th. I was like, okay. Just stuff out of the blue. That's
weird. Why would he randomly say, you know, Sebastian's birthday is December 7th? What? And this lady's like, this shit's weird. Okay, listen to this again.
When we do find Sebastian and bring him home, I said, I would love to meet your son. And he said, he's my stepson. And he said, and I'll make sure that you get to meet him. And so I was like, okay. So I went on, and later that night, Chris asked him if there was any news. And I asked him again because I'd heard that they were selling their house. And he said, no, we are not selling the house. He said, that's funny, though. I was like, okay. And I had just seen it. And he said, you know, Sebastian's birthday is December 7th. I was like, okay. Just stuff out of the blue that I didn't really ask. And so I texted him the next morning. I said, I hope y'all are doing okay. And I said, I hope that there is some positive information out there on the searches. And he said, thank you so much. Prayers, we get some answers soon. And he said, nothing was new. Later on that evening, he texted me and said, nothing new was found and still no leads. Sorry to report. And I said, I hate to hear that. And he talked about Indian Lake while we was up there. And I'm not sure. He said it was like 8 miles from their house. And I don't know if anybody knows if that place has been searched. Do you know if that has?
I have no idea. I've never heard of Indian Lake. Has anybody? Oh, Smiley said yes. It's been searched, Smiley? I hope so.
Because I didn't know. With him saying it was 8 miles from the house.
Okay, she knows about it, but she doesn't know if it's been searched.
Okay, because that's one of the places he told us to go. And we had already went to another lake that we were sent on it was more of a wild goose chase than it was anything, because somebody thought it was Chris's truck parked up there, but it wasn't, because we even snuck up on the truck to get the tag number and all that stuff. So yeah. I asked him about, and I'm not sure if I'm saying it, Hermitage Hill. Is that right? Does that sound right?
Hill?
Yes.
I have no clue about that one.
Well, Smiley is in chat and she fills us in on all of this.
I don't either. And I don't know what it was, because somebody, I think, said that it was like a home for kids.
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Smiley,
what it is.
Do you know about that one? Smiley's from.
I'm pretty sure they got married on Seth's birthday. I'm pretty sure they got married on Seth's birthday. When is Seth's birthday? They got married before Sebastian was born. So they're not getting married while she's in labor. They got married on his birthday. And he was going to get him a gun. Wait. And he wanted to get himself a gun for his birthday. Yesterday was his birthday. And he was saving up for a gun for himself for his birthday.
What?
Well, whether it's yesterday or today, he did this interview on their anniversary. Is that why he looked so rough? What?
In that area.
Oh, okay.
Hermitage Hill.
Yeah, it's spelled Hermitage Hill. So
she said it was like a home for kids.
A home for kids? Hermitage Hill? The fuck? No, I'm pretty sure. Nope, you know what? We're going to have to go look. Because I'm pretty sure on Coffin Duffer. He said they got married on his birthday. Where is the video of them? Is this it?
Let's see. Okay, some people.
No. When did she have them on, you guys? Because I could have sworn he said it was his birthday. And was it live? Fuck, I don't even remember. Hermitage Hills is a town 20 minutes down the road. Yeah, I'm sure Father's Day did too, but I'm saying if that was his anniversary and he did that interview, dude, he looked terrible. Terrible. But where did they go live with her, or was it a video? I can't remember now. 2 months. It must have been alive because. The court paper that stated when they were married. I know, and I don't have that in front of me, damn it. Dang it. Right, Mother's Day would have been difficult too, but it's all about Seth. But we still have people taking pictures of Katie out when she's out eating and shit. It's crazy. Could it be this one? Let's get the... Yep, here it is.
Hi and welcome.
This was actually a month ago already. Let's see if we can find the part. I believe it was right in the beginning when he talked about it. Okay, yep, here we go. June 21st. His birthday's tomorrow. Listen, here we go. This is it.
Up we got married the day after my birthday. We got married June 21st.
The day after his birthday. So today is Seth's birthday. Today is Seth's birthday. So listen.
Can you bring us back sort of to that day when it happened and so on and just bring us up
we
until
got
the
married
time.
The day after my birthday. We got married June 21st, 2008. It was a very hot summer day. I remember our vehicle didn't have air conditioning. I didn't get to spend the night at my house, so I was over sleeping on a couch at a friend's house because can't be in the house with the bride the night before the wedding. Kind of particular. So yeah. And literally the stress of it all, I actually had a migraine the whole night. So it's not like I got to do anything fun or exciting. I was sitting there like,
Eeyore got married.
I need ibuprofen and I need my head.
The day that Eeyore got hitched.
Smashed in with a hammer.
What did you wear? Traditional tuxedo, or was it a cowboy wedding? What did you wear?
I wore a tuxedo. Well, no, it was a suit, brown suit. She was in a dress, beautiful dress. She was beautiful. I mean,
here we go.
I remember some of the comments that she made that she was like, you've never.
Deep breath.
There he goes. Choked up. Jen, let's move on.
Let's move on, Jen.
Okay, polka dot Tony. Yeah, he still loves her. So would he do anything for her? Would he do anything for her? Put a one if you think if Katie called him right meow and said, I need you. If he would be there with bells on. Put a one if you think if Katie called him right now and said, Seth, I need you. If you think he would come a running. Put a two if you think he wouldn't. You think he'd say F you.
I don't know.
Okay. And then I asked him. Because we were talking to a friend of ours and she told us that.
What was it about the Hermit Chill she's asking? Sorry.
That was one of the places that was named.
By Chris.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about it to her.
I don't know if there's just an area around it or if it was a significant place or not.
It was somewhere to be searched.
Yes. But I told him, I asked him, is there... I asked him about if there were any abandoned basements or anything like buildings that might have been torn down around their area since they're doing a lot of construction there. And he said no, and that there was no businesses around there that had basements because I was thinking, well, if he did go off on his own and it was dark and all he had was his little flashlight, you know, we don't know how long that was going to hold up or whatever. And maybe he fell down in it and got hurt and just couldn't get back out of it. So, and nobody would have heard him if it was out there. And he says that there's no business around there. And he said they don't have basements.
And he said, I really want to tell you thank you so much for all your help in spreading flyers as well. My wife and I are so grateful for all your help you and your daughter have done to help us.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
And
okay, so he's thanking them for doing what they're doing.
When we got ready to leave, we went through and we went to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. We went by and seen Seth first. We met his mom and his dad and talked to him, you know, that I wanted to get more flyers because we were going to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. So we went down there and we handed out flyers everywhere. And so next thing you know, there's this guy come up to me and my daughter and said, hey, there is a guy that fits the description of this flyer. And he's down here at this one little cookie candy shop. So we take off running down there.
You hear this? There was a sighting at some candy shop.
And this poor little dude, he looked just like him, but maybe a little bit on the heavier side. And his manager was like, dude, you really do look like him. But his name was Bobby.
So it was a false sighting, which we never heard about. The motorcycle group? Yeah, I don't know. That would probably be a question for a local. Has he ever moved on from Katie, says Stephanie? I don't think so. Because he said, I never had a girlfriend after getting divorced from Katie. Yes. Hey, Cinnamon Hot Hot Hot. I thought the Coffin Ladies interview was so weird. It was. They had like a 10-minute discussion about socks. It was weird. Chunky Soul says, the thing is, Seth couldn't provide for Katie properly. Chris can. He makes a good living. She still, you know, she probably doesn't have to work, but she does. He makes probably really good money running that crane. Bikers don't hurt or help people that hurt kids. But you notice Tony called them a biker gang. That didn't make them sound very positive or good. Why would he want to put that kind of portrayal out there?
And it wasn't him. We got our hopes up, but we handed out tons of flyers before we left and all that and come back home. And I've just been keeping up with it ever since. And since we've been back, you know, I've still been talking to him and his stepdad, even I had actually posted on a group and he was telling me, Terry Bowersox had, senior posted on there so that he hoped that I didn't get caught up in all the drama and was listening and know that Chris and Katie were innocent and all.
Wow. So Terry Bowersox, what did he message her or comment? Hang on.
Chris and Katie were innocent and all that.
Did she say it was a post or a message?
Group, and he was telling me, Terry Bowersox had, senior posted on there so that he hoped that I didn't get caught up in all the drama.
He posted publicly, but you're going to hear this. None of the Bowersox would talk to her. Interesting.
I was listening and know that Chris and Katie were innocent and all that. And I didn't respond, but I have messaged them on Messenger trying to get them to talk to me, but none of them will.
Weird. Weird. He would publicly post to her. I hope you're not caught up in the drama. Katie and Chris are innocent, yada, yada, yada. And then they won't talk to her privately. It's weird. If it is truly a gang, yeah. I mean, we don't know. Terry's son, his real son, has nothing to do with them. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, sister, Kathy, you name it, I've messaged them. I spent all day on Ancestry.com, FamilySearch.com, looking all his people up, and it's amazing all the stuff I have found.
Let me read this to you real quick. First of all, Smiley said that Hermitage Hills is a neighborhood.
Okay.
And Ms. Kathy Gordon said, Blue Eyes Jewel, I appreciate you and your daughter coming to Tennessee and searching and handing out flyers and everything else you have done to help Sebastian.
You're welcome. And I will not stop helping. And if I could, I would come back up there in a heartbeat. And I was asking him about different people, and he was telling me, because he was fussing about different YouTubers and stuff like that, putting out, you know, crazy stuff and all that. And I asked him about the flashlight. And I said, what color was Sebastian's flashlight that was said it was gone? And he said, it's a small yellow one. And I asked him about the deal. I said, sorry for the questions, but I said, did Sebastian wear pull-ups or boxers at your house? And he said, both. And he said that Seth always tells everybody that he always come to his house with pull-ups on. And I was like, okay. I was like, I was just making sure, because, you know, in case we, you know, when anybody's out there searching, they see a pull-up, or, you know, if that was an everyday thing. And he said, no. He said, mainly, he said he would be in boxers at his house. And I had asked him that on the phone too when we was up there. So I felt like, because I know Seth said that he was in pull-ups and he went to school in pull-ups. I've heard things that people have, you know, said about how they make fun of him and stuff about the pull-ups, right, and all that. And I really feel like this child has been let down so much. And I asked Chris a lot of questions. I sent him a whole big message, and I said, I'm going to ask you a few questions. I said, if you don't want to tell me, just tell me it's none of my business and we'll go on. And I said, is it true that you don't want Sebastian near your daughter Faith? And if so, can you tell me why? And he told me to go ahead and list them out. He said, just go ahead and list all your questions and I'll go back and talk to you about it. And I said, and is it true what happened to Sebastian with the SA? And did he get help from that? And I really feel that shouldn't have been told about. When we talked on the phone, when my daughter and I came to Tennessee and you were telling us where to search.
Hold up. True crime and other stuff. You just made something pop into my head. What if that's why they don't want a reward? Let's expand this a little bit. She says, let me fix this. Dang, this made me think. And that screenshot, by the way, is Seth from that interview last night. He looks terrible. And I'm not saying anything that he shouldn't look terrible. I'm just making an observation. With the ruckus video and the flashlights at the same time, makes me wonder if there's more people involved. And if so, maybe someone will crack. And what would make someone crack? Money is one thing. Is that why there's no reward? Is that why they decided early on, we're not going to raise money? And that's when the whole thing went awry, when Seth started raising money and they didn't. Because if you have a reward, you might have some scrub who, you know, helped come forward for some money. How much money? I don't know. When you have multiple people involved in something, money does talk. No reward. I mean, we heard Seth say, oh, well, my attorney's trying to get a reward set up. It's been over 3 months. It's been 115 days. It's not that hard to set up a reward fund. But then if that were the case, if LE was going to try to get someone to turn on someone else, don't you think LE would coordinate with Crime Stoppers and get a reward out there? So you could look at it both ways. If LE wanted someone to rat on the other, you'd think LE would coordinate a reward. Maybe they know no one else is going to know where Sebastian is. Right. Maybe only one person knows exactly where he is. Maybe there's several people that may know what happened, but not where he is. Good morning, Jess. But 115 days to start a reward, that's not even normal. Right, no begging, help us find our son. It's just not normal. And rewards, yeah, sometimes they don't get paid out. But it's a good way to lure in people. Especially if you, like, had a shit bag do something for you. It's a good way to pull them out. I don't know. Just a thought. Just a thought. There could be a lot of stuff going on here. It's just so weird.
What was the name of the road that had the ungodly places in the road? We went down it. And what was the name of the park? I know Mary something, but there is also the Veterans Park there. Is there another park there as well near it? And I said, I had already asked you if he wore boxers or pull-ups, because I know it was said that he wore pull-ups all the time with you and Katie. And I remember you saying that he probably had boxers on, if I recall correctly. And the lie detector test, have you and Katie both taken one? I have heard so much about your parents going to Alaska, and everyone is speculating that they took Sebastian to Alaska and left him with people there. And it talks about Katie not talking to anyone, and that she holds the answers to what happened to Sebastian, that she colored her hair, and they are saying she sold her car and a house going up for sale, and that she will probably cut it short, and then you and her will run. And I said, what do you have to say about that? And why did you and Katie go to Mississippi and not back to Memphis? Do you know where he is? And I know you told me that day on the phone that you felt like he walked out and someone picked him up. What makes you think that? I said, I also have heard so much about Katie did something to him, and you covered it up due to an ultimatum. I said, I believe everyone is innocent till proven guilty, and it's like no one wants to hear what you and Katie has to say, but I do. Like I said, there is two sides to every story, and I hope Sebastian is found safe and sound, and I hope that whoever is involved with this disappearance is punished to the fullest. I said, my daughter and I have put our hearts and soul into this, and I'm so wishing I could come back up there and help search for him. And we have been, you know, I told him, I said, we have put on Facebook and we're willing to send out flyers to anybody that needs them. All they have to do is contact me, which I did get private messages, which I did go and mail out bunches of flyers to different people in different states. And I said, and the last thing I'm going to ask is, whose idea was it for Sebastian to go live with Seth?
Okay, so she's, I have her on 1.5 speed, whoever said she's reading. If I had this on regular speed, I'll play it for you. She's not, I don't think she's reading. I don't think so.
And I said, and I know when you have a divorce, when there is children involved, that is always something, and not every parent does the same thing for punishment and chores and how they let their children live. I know firsthand that it is always something different.
I'm not saying that she doesn't have notes, because you'd have to. Like, I don't expect her to remember everything that Chris said verbatim. I definitely think she's reading things so she doesn't misspeak. And I think that's very responsible of her. I don't think it's a script. I think she's just reading it verbatim so that her words don't get misconstrued. You know what I mean? Her name is something Blue Eyes. I don't know if she's known in the community. I don't know who she is. These people obviously know who she is. Smiley knows who she is because Smiley's in chat. So maybe she knows. I don't know. All I know is her name is Jules Blues. I don't know. Blue Eyes.
Say thank you for
Miss Blue Eyes
letting me ask these questions and letting us talk to you last week. Also, please tell Katie I would love to talk to her. There will be no judgment. I just want her baby to be found safe and sound. And it breaks my heart for him. And it's really messed up how everyone is speculating things and how all the misinformation is going around. And I said, I hope you have a good evening. And thanks again. And he said, thank you so much. And the only reason I asked was I want yours and Katie's side. And that's what I told him. And he said, our side is too long to talk out. And Ellie has asked us not to talk about it right now. So it's just like, I got that every time I asked him something, which everybody has, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's his go-to when he doesn't want to answer.
Total go-to.
And it's weird because he comes back on April the 7th at 10:24 p.m. And he says, have you and your daughter posted anything on Facebook about your talks or your searches? And I called him and I asked him, I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, I was just wondering, it wasn't a big deal. And he says, he told me that night, he said, I got to go. Ellie is calling me. I said, okay. He said, I will call you back tomorrow is what he messaged me. And so he called me on April the 8th. It was just different things. And he said that he could not tell me the reason why he didn't want Sebastian around Faith, and that Seth should have never put those, you know, that information out. And
I agree with that.
Yes. And I did too, because that's just something. If Sebastian is alive and out there somewhere, or somebody is holding him or something, then he don't need to hear that. I mean,
right.
I don't really think that he knows what the deal is.
Yeah.
Then it's like, I got another text at 11:29. He says, I will give you a call later on. Sorry, I didn't call you back. He said, we was dealing with law enforcement. And, you know, it's always when he gets a phone call while he's trying to call me or something like that, it's like, it's always Ellie calling. Like he's making up excuses to get off the phone. Yeah. Or if I start questioning him, he don't want to answer because he's like, okay.
Yeah. Yes, that's.
And it was just really weird.
Remember he did that in one of his interviews. He's like, this is my daughter. I got to go. But it wasn't. It was actually Terry Lynn.
And I asked him again about the clothes Sebastian wore. He said the clothes Sebastian wore at Texas Roadhouse are accounted for. I rode around with Ellie one day and they showed me some stuff. I will not provide the details of what was shown to me as people have asked. The phone call was with a search group called NARC Divers. They reached out and asked for information. What I provided to them is information that has been released already. I provided EMA director's point of contact to them and they took it from there. They recorded the conversation and posted it on YouTube as if it's some big thing. I had talked to Ellie before them and told them what I was going to say and they were good with it. Anything Trey from the NARC Divers is saying is stuff that Ellie has already. Personally, they are wasting their time looking within 5 miles of my house, according to Ellie. And
wait a minute.
He said, I think after people sees this, he said, trust me, when the truth comes out, it's going to be amazing. Seeing how.
When the truth comes out, it's going to be amazing. Wait. Let's go back to this last part. NARC Divers. Okay. Remember Trey. Remember Trey from NARC Divers? He posted a phone call with Chris. And that was where Chris was talking about the retention pond with him. Why is it a red flag that she's reading the text? I mean, we want to know what they say verbatim. I don't want her to mince Chris's words. I want her to make it crystal clear. And she is. And I think she's doing a good job. Plus, I have her sped up a lot.
Crystal clear.
Kiss my southern sass. Thank you for subscribing.
And I asked him again about the clothes Sebastian wore. He said the clothes Sebastian wore at Texas Roadhouse are accounted for. I rode around with Ellie one day and they showed me some stuff. I will not provide the details of what was shown to me as people have asked. The phone call was with a search group called NARC Divers. They reached out and asked for information. What I provided to them is information that has been released already. I provided EMA director's point of contact to them. And
okay, so he did. He did give him the number of the emergency management director. But he also told NARC Divers, Trey, that pond at the time was knee deep or whatever, or maybe he gave a measurement, an approximate measurement in that interview or in that phone call rather. I don't remember, but he referenced the depth of that retention pond, but he hasn't been home. So what does he have to compare it to? If he wasn't home all month, like, I don't know. It's weird.
They took it from there. They recorded the conversation and posted it on YouTube as if it's some big thing. I had talked to Ellie before them and told them what I was going to say, and they were good with it. Anything Trey from the NARC Divers is saying is stuff that Ellie has already. Personally, they are wasting their time looking within 5 miles of my house, according to Ellie. And the more he said, I think after people sees this, he said, trust me, when the truth comes out, it's going to be amazing. Seeing how many people have to eat crow and look like the biggest pieces of garbage. True crime folks.
Eat crow. Is he talking about all of us who thought that he's done something? It's going to be amazing. Okay, so it's not going to be amazing for Sebastian, I don't think. I don't think he's talking about Sebastian. I think he's talking about himself. It's going to be amazing because I'm not going to be guilty. It's not amazing because they're going to find him alive or anything like that. I don't think. I think this guy's talking about himself.
On YouTube to probably shut down their shows. LOL. Okay. And I think he was talking about JR, about how he's stalking people and stuff. He said, I'm sure there's something that can be done, but that will have to be handled in court, which technically, I mean, I don't know that he wants to mess with JR about that.
Right.
And I said, there's an online visual going for Sebastian that started last night at 7 your time and still going strong. That was the one they did online. He said, where is this at? And I said, online. He said, well, I won't be posting. And I asked him about the deal, why they don't go to vigils. He said, vigils is for when somebody dies. He said, we don't do vigils.
Oh, shit. Vigils are when somebody dies. Now, You can take that as, oh, they have faith that Sebastian's alive and they're holding on to hope. Or you can take that as, if they view it that way, they don't want to acknowledge it. You think so, Michael? Michael thinks he looks intoxicated. I didn't hear him slurring, though, like he normally does, which was weird. Because I've heard him look better. Or I've seen him look better, rather, Seth. And sound worse, if that makes sense.
About how he's stalking people and stuff. He said, I'm sure there's something that can be done, but that will have to be handled in court, which technically, I mean, I don't know that he wants to mess with JLR about that.
Exactly, right? Darcy. Exactly.
And I said, so I said, there's an online visual going for Sebastian that started last night at 7 your time and still going strong. That was the one he did online. He said, where is this at? And I said, online. He said, well, I won't be posting. And I asked him about the deal, why they don't go to vigils. He said, vigils is for when somebody dies. He said, we don't do vigils.
We don't do vigils. So if someone died, you wouldn't do a vigil, even if, like, that doesn't even make sense. We don't do them at all, even when people die. Like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
And so
that's crazy.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to look through my messages, so just bear with me. Because there's some that don't even have to deal with that.
Yeah, you're good. She's been talking to him for quite a while, guys.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
And yeah, Robin, Miss Janice, no, Sebastian did not walk out.
No, I don't think he did.
And little Miss Sharon.
And he was talking about TikTok. He said, they don't do TikTok. They don't do Facebook. And I said, well, that's funny because that's how I'm contacting you. We're talking on Facebook. We're in Messenger.
I love that.
So yeah, you're on Facebook. And I said, and I do believe that, you know, you do the YouTube thing too. And I asked him, I said, how are y'all doing today? And he said, she's doing better than I am today. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I'm just over everyone's BS and negativity from everyone. I'm at the point that I am ready to physically go after some folks, but I am going to handle things in a much better way. I was like, okay.
Ooh, he was starting to lose it. He said, I'm getting ready to go physically after some people.
So I didn't talk to him no more until the next day because I wasn't going to push it because I was just like, okay, yeah. He's in the, you know, wanting to go after
ticking
people.
Time bomb.
And, you know, different days I've asked him, hey, how's you and Katie? Any information? No, we're hanging in there, literally. I said, have you left the campground? He said, no, the camper's still there. People are just out there stirring up what they can.
He said they're hanging in there, literally. Literally. Yes, Summer Wells had vigils every week. Yep, they sure did. And they sure followed that case, didn't they, Potato? They sure followed the Summer Wells case.
Yeah.
And he said, it kills me that these people follow us. And he said, it does. But I think they are learning that we aren't the average person that will run from them. And I said, well, oops. I said, I hope that you have a better day. And I'm hoping that Sebastian is brought home safe. He said, thank you, man. Better today. Hopefully we will be feeling much better sooner than later. And he's unsent several messages since then. And
unsent.
I had asked him, this is what got me. I said, good morning, Chris. I said, can I ask a question again? And I said, it was you that told me that was his clothes was accounted for the night that he went missing. I said, or the clothes he had on at Texas Roadhouse. I said, what color shirt and pants did he have on at Texas Roadhouse? I said, I think people are getting that confused. He said, I cannot answer that question.
What?
And I said, why is that? And he says, well, first I wasn't there. And he said, and second there was, he said, Ellie has those clothes. I was like, okay.
Okay. But why can't you say what they looked like? This is weird. He said the clothes were accounted for that he wore to the Roadhouse. But he won't describe them. Why? Just like how in the beginning, Katie's like, I'm not going to describe my door lock system. The fuck are you talking about?
And we went on and I said, you're pretty familiar with Tennessee. I was wanting to know, is there a place called Kent something, because I've been here in Kent. He said, there's Kent State University, no new leads of now. He said, but I've got to take care of some things. And I said, okay, so that was it. And he texted me and told me no news other than gossip the next morning. And he sent me the video, the short clip of Katie doing the Reels video. And he sent me that. And he said that she did a great job and that he was proud of her. And he said, I'm going to say this case has become so out of hand. And I said, yes, it has. And I said, well, let me just put it to you this. I said, yes, the case has become so out of hand. All that he said and she said, it annoys me. And they are forgetting what is happening right now. Everyone needs to get off of the finger pointing and focus on what is being done. Like, how are they helping find Sebastian by doing all the, going backwards and forth at people? And I said, everybody speculates, but we're all human. Like you told us, we have our opinions. And I said, some may be hurtful and some may not. But I said, our main concern is trying to find out where Sebastian is. Is he safe? Is he alive? Is he somewhere that we can bring him back home? And I said, that's all I want to help do. And he said, yeah. He said, that's one of my theories and my wife's favorite video of him being self, because I was talking about the green tea video where he holds up the green cup and the tea. And every time I look at that video, it makes me want to cry.
Same.
And he said, if Seth would close his mouth and his mother stayed out of it, things I feel wouldn't be as bad. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get in on that. Right. And that's when he told me again. He says, I want to say thank you, ma'am. Trust me, when he does come home, I am sure we can arrange for you and him to meet. And there's just different things that he, I'm hoping that he does come home, and I'm going to hold him to it because I want to meet that baby if he does.
Right.
And for sure. Then it was like, I got to talk. I mean, like I said, I felt like I had gotten a relationship with him going as to be able to talk to him. And then it amazed me because one night when we talked, Katie was there. And this was right before the picture came out of the supposed spotting of Sebastian at Grandfather Mountain. And so.
All right. So this is a crazy story. She lives like 20 minutes away from that sighting. Thank you, Ms. Odin. Thank you for being here. She's 20 minutes away from that sighting. So she goes there, and her account of going there is freaking weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Right before that, I asked him which roadhouse it was because I wasn't familiar with things up there. And I noted when I looked online that there was more than one Texas Roadhouse showing on the map, and one had closed down, and one was actually the one that they went to, which is now the only one open, I think.
Yes, North Carolina.
And see, the reason why I asked, if because when he said search the Indian Lake area, that's where he said the Texas Roadhouse was Indian Lake. So I got to wondering about that. So that's why I asked if it had been searched or not, because Texas Roadhouse, Indian Lake, on Indian Lake, and there he tells me to search Indian Lake. And I asked him, I said, could there have been anybody following her? And he said, nobody was following. And so then we got to talking about Katie's information about her side of the family. And we won't go in that because everybody knows that situation. And I asked him, I told him, I texted him that morning because I woke up. That's the first thing I do is I wake up and check my phone, see if they've found anything, if there's any new news or, things like that. And then,
yeah, I think we all do that.
Yeah. So I go to sleep watching this stuff and and it's something. And there was somebody by the name of Mark?
Mark?
Yes.
I don't remember a Mark. Does anybody remember a name Mark?
I don't remember. I don't know who that was.
I don't know. I've not heard the Mark name before.
Okay. And I did write a letter to Katie. I sent it to her house and she never responded, but she did tell Chris that she got my letter. There was a vigil at the school and I asked him, I said, did you attend? We didn't attend, but I did come to talk to Seth. And I said, well, that's good that you did. I said, hopefully you can all put things behind and find where that precious boy is. And he said, that is the plan. We can deal with the indifferences later. And so I guess, that's when we found out that, they wouldn't want to work together was after that.
Right.
He says, I said, I'm not trying to be nosy. I said, I just told you from the beginning, a lot of stuff was said. And I said, I'm putting this out to you too, that I think everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And I said, and I'm not going to try to make things out looking like the bad guy and all this. And he said, let them, law enforcement knows the truth. And so do we. And he said, if everyone wants to drink the Kool-Aid, let them. And I said, okay. And he keeps telling me every morning, if he'll text me or I'll text him, have you heard anything? Still no leads. We're hanging in there. And I think this is where I told y'all, I said, can I ask if you and Katie are doing a prayer vigil at the church? Because there was something going around on Facebook that they thought that Kristen was doing one.
Okay, I'll slow her down just a little bit if it's too fast for you guys. I have her sped up. Who's Mark? Sorry, I was getting something to drink, but who's Mark? I've never heard of a Mark in this case. First time I ever heard that. CEU. Yeah, she's not fast. It's me.
And he says, we have not done anything as far as a vigil goes. I am back working and Katie travels with me, so she isn't alone in the house with the crazy ass people trying to go there and start some stuff. Normally, vigils are reserved for those who have passed. We refuse to believe Sebastian has passed on. And then...
Wait, what? No, T-Rev lived in Indiana, not Ohio. We refuse to believe that Sebastian passed on. But you... But you're not home for him. It's weird.
Someone, and he says, we have not done anything as far as a vigil goes. I am back working and Katie travels with me, so she isn't alone in the house with the crazy ass people trying to go there and start some stuff.
Why can't she have Mama Bowersocks come over? Like, Mama Bowersocks came over that morning to be by her side. Is there a reason that Katie and Mama Bowersocks can't hang out in the house? That Terry and Mama and Katie can't hang out at the house? It's just weird, right? I know, see you. Thanks for being here.
Normally, vigils are reserved for those who have passed. We refuse to believe Sebastian has passed on. And then...
Can you say that last part again?
He said... I was talking about the vigil that was supposedly going to be at the church. Just scroll up. Hang on. And I said, are you and Katie doing a prayer vigil at the church? He said, we have not done anything as far as a vigil goes. I am back working and Katie travels with me, so she isn't alone in the house with the crazy ass people trying to go there and start some stuff. Normally, vigils are reserved for those who have passed. We refuse to believe Sebastian has passed on.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. You faded out for a minute.
No, she
okay,
didn't.
So, what part did you hear?
Him and Katie were not doing the vigil.
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
Robot-y, and then you faded out.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is it okay? Okay, he says, we have not done anything as far as the vigil goes. I am back working. Katie travels with me, so she isn't alone in the house with the crazy-ass people trying to go there and start some stuff. Normally, vigils are reserved for those who have passed. We refuse to believe Sebastian has passed on.
Okay.
And he said, and the thing that bothers me the most is these people, the only way people will truly understand this is for them to be in our shoes. And I don't wish this on anyone for that matter, really. So then the picture comes out of the possible sighting in Grandfather Mountain. I'm 20 minutes from there.
Here we go.
So I get my mom. I said, get up. We're going to Grandfather Mountain today. Katie was crying on the phone with me and Chris on the phone. And she's like, that looks so much like my baby. Please.
You hear this? Katie was crying on the phone. That looks so much like my baby.
Please go up there and check. Well, this was the day after. And I said, I will go up there and see what I can find out.
So she thought that looked so much like her baby that she's waiting till the next day to tell some random stranger to please go there? Bullshit. Right there, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Even Don Wells thinks so. Come on. If you were that adamant that you said enough to say, oh my gosh, that looks like my baby, you wouldn't be able to wait 24 hours. See, that's 100% bullshit right there. Hey, Casper. I know I was in hers earlier before. You guys need to go watch Granny if you haven't watched her yet when we're done here. She goes over the News Nation interview.
And I said, I'm not far from it. I said, if that's what you want me to do. And she was telling me that Sebastian's breastbone sticks out a little bit more because it's growing outwards instead of where it needs to be. So she said, you would be able to tell if it was him, which, I mean, he wasn't, the same little boy wasn't there. I mean, there wasn't no way they were going to be there the same day, but we went up there and I took flyers. We paid $50 to get in for me and my mom.
This lady paid $50 to get in and go check for Katie the next day. How long have the Proudfoots been married? I think since 2017, if I'm guessing, 2017-ish. Don't quote me on that because I don't know for sure. Linda doesn't think Katie stays there because of what happened there.
The guy at the ticket stand, he gave us our receipt and I gave him a flyer and he said that he would pass it along and see if they could post them at the entrances. So we got up there and we went to where Sebastian or the little boy would have been standing. And we got out and I recreated everything where he would have been standing and all that. So we went into the wilderness center right there. And I asked the lady there, I said, were you working yet Saturday? And she said, no, why? What is this concern? And I was telling her, I said, I was trying to see if you seen the little boy that was supposed to have been, that looks like Sebastian Rogers, the little boy that was missing. And I showed her a flyer. Well, she gets on the phone and she calls somebody and she said, if you'll wait right here, I've got somebody coming up to talk to you.
Hang on. If you're listening, pay close attention to this next part because it's absolutely crazy what happens to her.
It's weird.
Okay.
All right. So this guy comes in and he says, can I help you? And I said, yes. I said, I'm wanting to find out information about, you know, the little boy that was up here on Saturday that everybody is thinking that it's Sebastian Rogers. And I showed him the flyer and he tells me, you can come down to the office and we can talk there. And I said, well, why can't we just talk here? And he said, no, we'd have to go to the office. So I follow him back down and I go into the office. I'm led to a conference room. There is a lady sitting to the left of me. The guy that come up to get me at the main top of the mountain was in front of me and another guy.
So this is the next day. She's inquiring about this photo and they take her ass back to a conference room where there's several people waiting. Was this a setup? What the fuck? What is that? They were already in place. Yeah, I think their divorce took a while, though. I don't know when it was final. It was definitely filed in 2016, but I don't know when it was final. Hey, Gustave, welcome in. Welcome in, everybody that's just joining. We have 1,700 people here. Have you guys hit that like button? Thank you for being here, folks.
I was to the right of me. I had to show my license. I had to give them my phone number. I showed them pictures where I had been up there searching. The whole sheet, and I got interrogated like I had just committed the worst crime that you had ever thought. I just told him, he asked me what my relationship was to him. I said, I'm just a concerned person being up there to look for him. I said, I know that there is, you know, supposedly a sighting up here. We don't know if it was him and all this, but I mean, they questioned me about everything about him, you know, why I was up there and just everything. And he said, this stuff will be turned over to law enforcement. I said, go ahead, because I have nothing to hide. I didn't do anything. I'm just here as a good Samaritan trying to find this little boy. Finally got out of an interrogation room. And I mean, this lady was writing down everything I said in there. And, you know, like I said, they took copies of my license and stuff like that. I had to give them phone numbers.
Okay, but she doesn't say, and what I would have asked her, because if they gave her, you know, business cards, I would have said, did you ask who they were? Did they give you a business card? Because I'll be damned if I'm going to walk into some wilderness center at a park that I just paid $50 to get into and be called back in some office just because I'm asking about a social media post of a kid that was seen there the day before and not ask who they are before I start giving my license and stuff. So I would have to assume this lady knows exactly who she was talking to. Because you'd ask. You would definitely ask, but she's not saying who it is. It could have been FBI. Yeah, absolutely. It could have been. It's another state, right? Or could they have had the local authorities go in there? And I had to give them copies of phone numbers. She gave them pictures of where she was searching. I mean, you're not going to give that up without asking who you are and why you, you know what I mean? They had to have introduced who they were when she got back in that room. And she was probably like shook.
Anything that they wanted, I gave them.
Anything they wanted.
I don't have nothing to hide. That's exactly what I told them.
See, I don't have nothing to hide. You can have everything. So there were people there waiting for people to show up on this sighting. Were they wondering who would come there? And who wouldn't? And why? But she says, I gave them anything they wanted. That's what you do when Ellie's questioning you. You say, I don't have nothing to do with this. You can have whatever you want. That's what innocent people do. I think it could have been Amy.
Which really shocked me. But Chris told me the whole time it wasn't him. Katie said yes.
Mm.
And so I come back and I called him back and I told him, I said, look, I said, I just got interrogated by the people at Grandfather Mountain. And I said that.
She said interrogated, y'all. Y'all, she just said interrogated. She told Chris, because she wasn't happy. She was probably scared shitless. What have I gotten myself into? So she tells Chris, dude, I just got interrogated at Grandfather Mountain. She used the word interrogated. Yikes, Ashley.
Jeepers.
Listen to that part again.
But Chris told me the whole time it wasn't him. Katie said yes. And so I come back and I called him back and I told him, I said, look, I said, I just got interrogated by the people at Grandfather Mountain. And I said that they wrote everything down about what I said. And I said, which is fine. I said, like I said, I told them I don't have nothing to hide. I was just up there looking. And I said, hopefully we'll find out something soon about it and all that. I said, and so going from there, the next conversation was about, I'm not sure, Terry Lynn that found the pants. And he was.
Okay, before we get into Terry Lynn finding the pants. This is crazy. Hey, Canadian cat lady, welcome in. Welcome in. This is the kind of crap that would keep people from searching and helping. Scared. Scary, right? Scary. Katie and Seth thought it was him. Chris didn't. Katie and Seth thought it was Sebastian. Chris didn't. It goes back to our theory that we discussed that allegedly one person knows where Sebastian is located. I don't know what it could have been a plan to, Sandwich, but it seems odd. Nicole LTL, thank you for being here. You're enjoying this, and thank you.
Not very
for your commentary.
Happy with her, so I won't even read what he said about that.
Oh shit! So I wish you would have read it. It would give us some insight. But she says the pants, when Terry Lynn found the pants, he had some things to say. He was not very happy with her. And she didn't want to say what he said about her. So why would he be so upset about those pants? Maybe they wanted to see which parents came and which did not. What if he was just dropped off somewhere where he didn't know where he is and Chris was like, find your way back. And he couldn't. Nana says they sent this kind lady to find out what L.E. knew. You think they sent her in to check out the situation? It is very strange. It is very strange. I think that picture was fake. I think it was actually maybe could have been Sebastian. But I think that it was a fake photo made to see what kind of reaction they would get from certain people, maybe. And maybe that woman walking was one of or someone that Katie or someone would recognize. And if they don't react on that, then they have something to ask them about, right? I don't know. We're not going to know anything because they are keeping everything close to the vest.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.